7JE Mobile once again. Mobile, this is KN4TFW. This is Scott, Whiskey 1 Juliet Echo. Hope I made it that time. I might have been a little quick on the trigger there. Still running too, and it was making too much noise, but I thought it was it. How are you doing today, Scott? It's Ken from yesterday. Call signs sounded familiar, but I kind of get letters and numbers mixed up occasionally. But doing good. Nice weather out. Thankfully, there's a lot of people that wanted to stick around and load rolls on the truck, and so when I talked to the guy in charge, he's got enough people. He says, yeah, I'll see you tomorrow. He said, bye. And I'm out of there. I got stuff to do at home tonight.
Just went and picked up a different antenna up here at the Wireman, see if I can make this one work a little bit better.
It actually sounds really good. How am I doing? Am I at least hitting the repeater? I think I'm running on 5 watts of power because, you know, I really don't need to do any more than that.
Sounding real good. You're hitting the repeater fine. It's good. Yeah, I picked up a HF antenna, a wire. I had one there that I was trying to make work, and it was having issues, so she made up another one, a little bit different configuration for me to see if I could make that one work.
It's all about experimentation and trying some weird stuff. You never know what's going to work until you try it.
But I'm still in that learning mode. I hadn't even had my license a year yet.
I picked my license up in 1995, 96. Probably 96. It was the year I got divorced. I was starting into ham, and she was rolling her eyes, and we were still having issues anyway, but that's beside the point. Yeah, and I was doing a lot of learning. My background is I got a degree in RF and microwave and worked for a company called Verne Associates and tuned airport radar amplifiers, microwave amplifiers. And I had a friend of mine that got his license at the same time. That's how we met. And he was doing a lot of learning.
To me, I mean, at least you had a head start. I'm all mechanical and electrical and RF and all that. That's not me.
I'll admit, I was lucky in that respect because of the fact that when I went down and picked up the novice and technician level, that they had novice back then, I probably knew half the book already. I read the whole thing in like 2 weeks. And then I went and took my the very first level, I think, was novice. I aced that one. And when I took my technician class, I think I only missed like 3. And I never did get my technician plus because me and Moore's code did not get along. Though I did learn it once I got my extra. It took me 3 years to learn 20 words per minute on Moore's code.
The Greer Club is going to have a class on beginning CW, but there didn't enough people sign up, but I did sign up for the extra class, so hopefully I'll go through that and be able to take the book. Their classes really, really helped me out.
I made the mistake of trying to learn it before learning how to learn it, so a lot of it got stuck in my head where I'd listen to the sound and then convert it to the letter rather than accept it as a letter. And I end up using the Fonzworth method program out there. At least I still think it's free. It's called the G-Forn or something like that. And it allows you to set the speed and how you want it to come out. And it helped me out. Even though it took me a long time, I was able to learn through that method.
The kids got me a couple of CDs to learn it. Gordon West CDs to learn it. And then I've been looking at the class from last year's class online, and so I just in the first stages right now trying to learn a couple of letters, but sometimes it just kind of all runs together, and what I thought it was really wasn't that.
It was fun when I'd learned it. This repeater was having some issues, and it was, I think our standard was like slash low, LP for low power. I every time I'd hear it, but I couldn't decipher it, but I can write it down. That's one thing you should learn. And if you're getting a CD that tells you the letters as you go along, don't listen to it a lot because you'll memorize it. And that makes it even worse from what I hear. I didn't ever use the tape or anything for that. But like I did, I have to admit, I made the mistake of learning it the wrong way, to where they were using the letters at 20 words per minute, but the speed was 5 words per minute, and then I went up to 6 and 7, eventually 20.
going to take me a little while too, but you know, at least I can learn it at my own speed now. And then I didn't want to really take the extra and the Morse code at the same time, but I do want to learn both of them for sure. KN4TFW.
A lot of fun. I did it up on 20 meters for a while, but then, like I said, got away from it. Radio needed some work. Things happened, and yeah, well, one thing led to another. But at least I'm back at it again. They never know. I could pick it back up and try doing some HF again. We'll see what happens. A lot of my friends call me a tech extra. I'm okay with that. I just wanted the 1x26 call sign because it's easy for me to understand and hear that.
You do primarily CW?
But it wasn't a whole lot. One thing you got to be careful of is when you get to used to like saying CQ with the side paddle, if you hit it really fast, somebody's going to come back really fast. But if you hit it really slow, they come back slow. So you don't end up in getting somebody who's, you know, been doing 20 words a minute for 20 years and they usually use it as a language. Somebody hears something slow, they'll answer slow. And that worked out really good for me.
Good to know. If you're doing it really fast, you're only going to pick up people that do it fast, and there's a lot of people out there that can't do it that fast, right?
Not exactly what it was. Yeah, but the one thing you want to do when you're hearing it is don't say out the letters, is hear it and write it. That is the best advice I had, because if you hear it, you say, you hear a C, you go C, then you write C, but by the time it processes through your brain to your pencil, they're on to the next letter already, and you miss it, and that is true. So I just learned to not think about it. When I heard, you know, da-da, I knew it was an A, or da-da-da-da, and I knew it was a C, and I never converted it to the letter. I just, that's what it was, and I wrote it down.
Write some of the letters down, and if I ever stumbled, man, it was all over with then.
And then the side paddle key, I tried the straight key. I could not master it as well as I'd like to. And then somebody loaned me a side paddler, and oh, that's the way you do it. Because one side's dit, one side's da, and it makes it so much easier.
I wish I'd learned it back in the 80s. Then, the early 80s, before my first wife passed away, my father-in-law then, he used to be a Navy radio man, and man, he lived and breathed for CW.
In another language. Yeah, if I'd have signed up to be a radio man, I would have never made radio man, because I understand you had to learn 20 words a minute before you could be cut loose out into the fleet. And when it took me that long to learn it, that was amazing. I stuck with it. That was the important thing. And they say women pick up Morse code faster than men.
I noticed that on the, when I was watching the class from last year, and that there was a woman in there, and man, she could nail it. You know, he'd rattle off a bunch of letters there, and then she'd write it down, and she'd read it back to him, and she'd be spot on, and that, it's like, man, I'd be falling all over myself.
Another thing about CW is that, you know, you learned when it was Tech Plus, back when I could get Tech Plus, it was 5 words per minute. And I was talking with an old ham, I'm sure he's a silent key now, W6REC. He was the one that told me all the little nuances and the ways to learn. And he says, don't learn 5, 10, 50. You go straight to 20. Make the letters 20, and then the spacing 5 words per minute, and it'll help you out. And it did. But it, some people can pick it up. I took Spanish for 2 years in high school. I took a year of German. I couldn't get any language. And then I went to programming to learn code for computers. I did that for 2 years and still couldn't get it. I can't learn any other language except English, I guess, only because I have to. And even then, I wasn't very good in school.
I hear you on that one. Yeah, I hope I can at least learn it. Maybe it might take me a couple of years, but it'll be interesting and something to do and something to keep my brain going in these older years, right?
Something to do. I remember this. G4FON is the, I think, .com. is the place you can download that program, and it allows you to customize everything on it. And it even has testing where you can, you'll see if you load it, there's some different games you play, like Bugs on a Windshield. As the Morse code comes across, you type in the letter, and if you miss, your windshield gets hit with a bug, and you're only allowed so many bugs, and then you got to start all over again.
4FON.
Correct. you get the prize. No, actually, you heard it right. I thought about it. Maybe I should have said it phonetically, but you got it. Yeah, look it up. It's fully customizable. It was. In fact, I still think I got it on my computer. And now you got me thinking about it again, because sometimes in the evening I don't watch TV. I get enough of the internet. I've done enough of my reloading. I got to think of something to do, and maybe I should go back to learning Morse code. That's kind of, now you got me kind of interested in it.
It's good to learn it, and to keep it. There's a lot of new people out there that want to learn it, but can't find anybody to really practice it with them. You could really help out in that respect.
That was one of the things that I learned, everything was on 20 meters for me, and I always wanted to know, I can't say for sure, but I think there's a couple of frequencies on the 2-meter band that you can do CW. I could be completely wrong, because that was like, one, two, that's probably 6 years ago, 7 years ago?
You're right, there is some that's dedicated to CW, but I'm thinking you can do it about anywhere that you really want to.
It's clear that certain frequencies are allocated for CW. In other words, if you're up on a voice channel and you hit CW, there's going to be a lot of people that aren't going to like that. At the same time, if you're down on a CW and you start, voice, they might start messing with you then, too, to let you know.
I'll accidentally stumble onto the wrong band and the wrong thing. It's bound to happen. But I got the band chart right there in front of the radio, so hopefully I can pay attention to it.
The good old-fashioned band chart, lived and died by the... Hey, can I transmit on this? Because I got my general license, and so, ooh, look at all this. And then when I got my extra, I'm looking at everything I said. One level below the AM boys. W1JE for ID.
How's you out rolling about?
I made contact. I was rolling off the property at work, and I'll be home in less than 4 minutes. Maybe even three. There's nobody in front of me. I guess I should go a little faster. At least do the speed limit.
I'm just about a half a mile from the house myself.
The weather's going to go away, but man, when I woke up this morning, looked at temperature, it was 28 degrees outside. Oh, this is going to be a rough drive to work.
And at least it's better right this evening. I got to string this antenna up, but it shouldn't take me but about 30 minutes, I don't think, since I got all the anchor points and all the cord up in the tree, so it shouldn't be too bad.
You got to be aware of, and my friend Gary, when he got his ham license, is that he put up an antenna tower, not a big one. It sat on the roof of his apartment, and the owners let us do that. They thought it was kind of neat. He could receive, but he wasn't transmitting very well. And what he did was he used metal guy wire and tied it off and grounded it. And he's basically shorting a signal down. So we had to go out and get a ceramic buckles so we could get the right distance so it wouldn't, take everything to ground and not transmit out.
Well, I'm on up, so I'll say 73 with you, Scott, and I hope you have a awesome day and look forward to catching you on the radio again another day. KN4TFW.
Have yourself a good day, too. I'm turning into the neighborhood, so I'll be clear. This is Whiskey 1, Juliet Echo.
W1JE, before you go, W4DJW.
Helen.
Hey, Scott. Just wanted to tell you that call sign for that guy that had the antenna that was fold over backwards was N4BDR. His name was Tony.
One time he had it folded over backwards. What was his name?
His name was Tony, and his call sign was N4BDR. Remember him now?
Get over on the rack. He drove the red SUV, Tony. Yeah, I understand. Yeah, he's a silent key now. A couple years now, isn't it?
That's correct. But I remember you were talking about him. You said you couldn't remember his call sign, so I figured I'd resurface that to the top of your memory stack.
Good job. I remember his name. I'm not sure the call sign will stick that long, but I remember now. Yeah, I remember meeting him out at the Little Rebel.
Yeah, and you're right. He had a burgundy red SUV, burgundy, kind of a dark red colored SUV. Anyway, I know you're getting home, close to home, so I'll let you go, but I just wanted to throw that out there. W4DJW, clear.
I appreciate it. It was good information. Whiskey 1, Juliet Echo, clear.
DJW, KN4, VWA.
Good afternoon, Steve. How are you?
I'm going to text you a couple of photographs here shortly and let you get a grin out of it. I made some really good, serious progress on my tower today. Matter of fact, I went over just a few minutes ago to pick up my stiff knee for about two-thirds out the way, out the length of the antenna, so that the tip won't hit the ground. Got to get it put in, and I'm going to be very, very close to finishing this thing off, baby. So anyhow, I just want to jump in there and let you know how I'm doing. I'm going to send you a couple of pictures, and get your nose back to the grindstone, fella. You got, what, 4 more hours to go?
Something like that. No, I don't have that much to go. I've got about another 2.5 hours. Anyway, you're not stressing that concrete too soon, are you? You're not jumping the gun on it, are you? Did your battery die? I didn't hear you.
What here? My radio kicked over to another repeater for somehow or another. That's weird. But anyhow, what I was saying was is, I think you'll get a grin out of those pictures, and I'll let you get back to the grindstone. That 4 hours extra in a day has got to be, you got to love that California time, baby.
Yeah, that's correct. But my question was, you're not stressing that concrete too soon, are you?
I stood the antenna. I mean, I haven't stood the tower up yet. I just lifted it about 8 feet on one end, or 8 or 10 feet on one end with the John Deere, so that I could get a approximation for that support. And no, I haven't stood it up yet, even though it is a great temptation.
How many days? Are you counting the days? How many days you got? Let's see. I think I heard you said the 28th. You got 20 days? That sounds like a long time for concrete to cure.
Well, I poured the concrete on January 1. No. January. I poured it on January 1st. New Year's Day. And so right now, I guess that puts... What is today, the 9th or the 8th?
Today is the 8th.
I'm 8 days in, and I got, I got 20 more days to go. But I'm actually going to go ahead and try, if the weather cooperates, I'm going to try to have a little antenna party up at the house on the 25th, Saturday the 25th. I'd love to have you come, brother.
Well, what's going to be involved in, I mean, it's like bolting it together on sawhorses and then winching it up? Is that what's involved?
Well, no. On the 24th, I'm going to go ahead and have everything completely assembled and then just make sure I've got a few extra folks on hand, on site, to winch it up. And once I get it winched up, I'm going to have everything pretty much pre-done. All I seriously need is some good help tuning that bad boy. I want to get that thing tuned to a just absolute fine level. And I'm kind of hoping I'm going to get some of the best in the club to come up and help me on that, including you.
Yeah, I can probably do that. So is tuning, is that a matter, I mean, you're going to tune it for one location or multiple locations on multiple bands, or what's the goal there?
It should be an overall, because I've got, it's a four band antenna, and I've got the chokes in place that are already calculated and measured out. So really all I should have to, really, I got the hiccups, I'm sorry. All I should really have to pay close attention to is the actual tip adjustment for the final SWR. So I'm kind of figuring up and down about maybe 3-4 times. But I've got a rig expert, 55 zoom, and I'm kind of hoping that's going to trim me out on the preliminary. And then maybe back down one time for an absolute fine.
Okay. Well, you know there's, you know that that SWR is going to vary as you go up and down the band, on each band, right? I do have a SWR meter that connects to a computer that plots it from the very end of the band all the way to the top of the band. So you can get a plot, so you can see where it dips the lowest. And then you have to plan on where are you going, I mean, unless it's flat, zero all the way across, which that's highly doubtful. I don't think there's any antenna out there that's like that. Usually they're tuned for a specific area on the band. And the SWR, what it does is it sends a really small signal out to the antenna, and it gets a feedback on what the SWR is. And then it'll move up a hertz or 2 hertz or 3 hertz, and it'll take another reading, and another 3 hertz, and take another reading, and it'll go all the way across the band doing that. It does it pretty quick. And in the end, you get a plot that tells you what the SWR is where, and then you know where on that band you're going to be spending most of your time. And then you either lengthen it or shorten it, or you make an adjustment to it to move that low spot from the SWR closer to where you're going to be using it the most. And then you go to the next band and do the same thing, and the next band and the next band. And then you go back to the first band again, and you see how changing it for the other three bands affected the first band. And that way you fine-tune it. You know, that takes a little while, right?
Therein lies the definition that I use for expertise at my antenna party.
Okay. I can bring that. And then in the end, when you get it right where you want it, you print out your plots so that you know before you go to a frequency what you're dealing with, right? If that's going to be somewhere a long way away from your dip, or sometimes it'll dip 2 times, sometimes it'll dip 3 times, sometimes it comes down and it stays flat for a little while and then it goes back up again. But at least that gives you feedback for when you spin the dial, what your SWR at your antenna is going to be and how much work your tuner is going to have to do to bring it down to something your radio is comfortable with. What kind of tuner do you have?
Now, I have talked to DX Engineering, I've talked to HRO, and let's see, who's the other big one out there? Oh, Gigaparts. And I spoke to the tech people at DX and at HRO, and they have both assured me that if I can get it fine-tuned, that I will not need a tuner. That the SWR, once we get everything tuned, that the SWR will fall at 2 or less.
Hey, Jerry. Okay, that's highly doubtful. But we'll go with that as a going in position. But if it's not anywhere close to that, don't be disappointed. Go ahead, Jerry, W4DJW.
Listen to Dave on this one, because we start, especially if you got a four-band antenna or even a tri-bander, it's not as simple as it appears to be. And there's a lot of misinformation out there, and I can assure you that if it pops up like under 2, that's going to be a real, you got a horseshoe somewhere that nobody knows about. Because the last, it's been years since I put one up, but I put up, helped put up an old Cushcraft tri-bander about 30 years ago. We had it good on the ground, and we had to get up, you know, back in those days, I could climb. It was going up on a 120-foot tower, and I said, I can't get up all the way, but we had it up there, and it still needed some work. So as you raise it above the ground, it's going to change a little bit, too, I think, at least if I remember correctly. But listen to Dave on this one, because I can assure you he is an expert. And I mean, some of the guys in these stores, they really don't. Some of them are pretty good, but a lot of them have not been hams very long. They're in business to sell, and I advise M4DJC.
I have no problem listening to Dave and getting help from all the guys that I'm going to hope to have come up. But in theory, not only did I talk to the DX and the HRO guys, and that not just their salespeople up front, I'm talking about their tech support guys, especially up at DX. I also talked to Cushcraft. And if this thing doesn't perform as advertised, hey, they'll just be buying it back. You know what I mean? Hey. And I tell you what, I've been extremely happy with the Comet antenna that I got, that 250, CHA 250B. I set that up just exactly the way they said to do it, and by George, it is two or less across all the frequencies. Because hey, Dave, I picked up a digital SWR power meter that also checks back on the frequency. It's neat.
So you sweep the whole band and watch it from the beginning of the band to the end of the band, and then go to another band without making any adjustments and sweep the whole band, and it's like less than 1.2 to 1 across all the bands that it's good for? That's extremely – there's one antenna I know that does that, but it has to have an adjustment in between, and that's the Step IR. And what it does is it does that sensing, the same sensing I was telling you about my – one that connects to the computer does, and then it retracts and extends the elements to compensate for the difference. And things like the level of iron in the soil, whether it's raining or it has rained, or whether the soil is dry or whether it's wet, all of that affects buildings that are nearby, where how high it is in relationship to the tower. Everything affects that standing wave ratio. It's not like you can build an antenna and you can stick it anywhere and it's going to work. You can stick it in some place that work great. You can stick that same antenna just like it is somewhere else and it might not perform at all. So that's probably, if you do try to get them to buy it back, that's probably what you're going to hear in your next conversations with them. Anyway, you sweep the whole band from beginning to end across multiple bands and get something less than 1.2 to 1.
It's not what I said. I said less than 2 to 1.
Okay, 2 to 1. Okay, yeah, that's different. That's getting that's tunable. 3 to 1 and down is tunable. Once it starts getting over 3, it gets to where it's no longer tunable. You might get it to tune, but all you're doing is generating heat. You're not radiating anything once you start getting over that point. But 2 to 1, that's not too bad. You're still generating a lot of heat. You're not radiating near as much, but you can get out that way.
Okay, now see, there's another thing that I'm running into. There's a lot of the guys out there that are telling me that anything below 2 to 1 is just fine.
Well, it could be. What kind? Did you get a tube amp or did you get a solid state amp? I think you got a tube amp, didn't you?
Ameritron 811H tube.
Yeah, they're more forgiving. The solid-state amps, they're less forgiving when it comes to the tube amps, kind of, you can think of it, they're like tuners and amplifiers at the same time, whereas the solid-state amps, they've got to find a setting, they've got to find settings that they can use to compensate, whereas the tube does that a lot of that for you. So that's probably what those guys that are happy with 2 to 1 and lower, they're probably running tube amps, because a tube amp is kind of a tuner and an amplifier in one.
Okay. Well, and there again, as I was saying, lack of expertise on my part. This is going to be a learning experience as we go through this and tune it up.
Well, there you need to study the manual on that amplifier inside and out, upside and down, left and right, top to bottom. You need to know how that amplifier tunes. You need to know the exact steps. I've had tube amps in the past, and I learned them, and I knew them well. And then if I didn't use them for a year or more, I'd have to go back and relearn it. And the learning process can be brutal to an amplifier. A new amateur radio operator can be brutal to an amplifier. I went through several before I figured it out. So just keep that in mind. It's a learning. That license is a license to learn, is what that amateur radio license is. That's the way K4SUG Ray would always sell us. That license is a license to learn, so this is going to be a learning experience.
Betcha. Well, plus, and I've tagged several people that have the 811H just like mine, just like Jimmy in N4MMW. He has one. And, by the way, he's doing real well with his knee. You know, he had his knee replacement on December 18th, and he's doing very well. And, but I'm hoping he's going to be back on his feet enough to come on up on the 25th also.
That's good to hear. How did your, You had a little setback there right after it, and then you got over it. You completely passed that now?
Story. This past Monday, but the Monday before, I went in for my three-month checkup. I went in, sat down with the doc. I told my doc, I said, look, my knees are sore. Okay, well, both knees? I said, yeah. Well, so have you been exercising them pretty hard? I said, well, Tuesday, dug a hole 3x3x3 foot deep, and then on Wednesday, I put a 280-pound piece of plate steel over the hole and then filled the hole with 55 bags of 50-pound concrete. He just looked at me and says, come on, go with me. And he walked me back to the back where my wife's office is, because she works for him, took me back there and says, look, the next time he starts something like that, slap him on the back of the head. He says, you're fine. Get out of here.
So that's actually good for you then. I mean, they want you to exercise. They don't want you to sit on it, right?
My orthopedic surgeon has told me is low to no impact, but work it and work it and work it till it hurts. When it hurts, back off.
So riding a bicycle is okay, but jogging is not.
He says that impact right now, I should stay away from impact for at least the first, well, another 60 days, okay? It's like concrete, where they glue that thing into your femur and your tibia. It has a usable curing time, and then it has its permanent curing time. And he says, more than likely, it's fully cured by now, but, just to be on the safe side, I use this amount of time, so... You know, take it easy with impact and then go light impact and then build.
Okay, that's good. Sounds like you got a handle on it. And Jimmy didn't have that kind of a setback. He's just going up right out of the gate.
Jimmy is just like a Kentucky thoroughbred, Bubba. He is going at it. And he doesn't, and see, I'm the same way. I was the same way. You get it going and you want it to go faster. Let's get this thing well. He's type A, like me. Let's get this thing going. I need to get up on my feet. I'm tired of sitting here in a bed. Let's go. And he is doing very, very well, and everybody keeps telling him he's doing very, very well, but not quite up to his expectations.
Okay, that's good. That's good to hear. Hey, do you have any airplanes left? Are you flying at all, ever?
I was in the air about I take that back. July of 2017... I moved into the house up here, the new house I just built, and I got my new knee the end of July. That was the left one. And it took me approximately 12 months to build the house the way I wanted it to be built. And I had started, I found a quarter-scale SIG Cadet J3 Piper over in Spartanburg, still in the box. And I traded for it, and I started it, and I've got the main fuselage pretty much done. But I'd say since about January 2016, I haven't flown since then. But I need to get back out, and I've got a drone, and I've been flying it some, but that's not the same as flying a fixed wing. And I got to get that J3 Cub finished. I've got a 1.2 cubic inch to go on it, and I've got a couple of other pieces of junk from back in the old days that I tried to fly, but they pretty much had it.
Okay. Well, you might want to, I mean, if you are thinking about, when you do get back to thinking about it, because I know that comes and goes with available time and priorities and all that stuff, but when you do, there is a club not far from us, in between you and me, probably closer to you than it is to me, over near Campobello, I guess it is, and they're called Foothills Flyers, so you might want to think about joining up with them so that we can have a place to go fly that doesn't have to go all the way down to WCRC where they are, their new club field. You can't fly at it yet. They're still working on it, but their new club field isn't but a couple of miles away from where the old one was, but it's still a long drive. There's one a lot closer to us. So you might just make a mental note of Foothills Flyers and Google that and sometime before you're ready to start getting back into it. You might want to join up with them. Anyway, W4DJW.
Fine, KN4VWA.
I'm doing it like you are. I've probably got a dozen airplanes, and I've got as many multirotors. And my wife buys me those DJI, like the Mavic Mini and the Spark. She doesn't know what else to get for Christmas presents, stuff like that. So that's what she normally gets me. So I usually get a new drone every year. But mostly I've got a bunch of airplanes downstairs. And some of them, like one of them, one electric that I was working on, it's called a Shrike. And it's not like a Shrike with a cab that people jump out of with parachutes. It's a different kind of, it's a flying wing kind of a Shrike with an elevator. But I was working on those before I switched jobs 3 years ago. And this job required like undivided attention for 3 years. And I wasn't able to fly at all. But now this one's starting to relax up a little bit. So I'm thinking about moving back over and back into that hobby. That's my main passion. Amateur radio is second to flying.
I got to tell you, Dave, right before I started in on that house, I actually got in the air. And, you know, they wouldn't let me fly without supervision. And I flew the pattern. I came in, landed, did just fine. But I tell you, I have to have someone over my shoulder to grab it and save it if I get all tangled up, you know, because, you know, it's been that long for me. And, you know, I love it. And I tell you what, give me about 4 or 5 months, something like the springtime, and let me get past my daughter's wedding. And I'm going to be wanting to get back into that, Bo. Tell you, that would be really good. And I've got to finish that J3 Cub. It's nice.
Okay. And now that you're in to amateur radio and you have your license, there's even more you can do with flying. And we'll go over that. But I've got a guy at work pinging me, and he wants to call me right now. So I have to say yes. And I have to get off the radio to do that. Anyway, good talking to you, Steve. KN4VWA, W4DJW. I'll be clear after yours.
Yeah, KN4VWA. Always a pleasure, Dave, and we're going to have to get together on some of this stuff, and I look forward to your help on the 25th. KN4VWA, clear.
A-test. TXJ testing. TXJ listening.